good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization working for climate justice.
And fighting
Robert,
for
it's Monday. Fighting for climate justice. Yes, exactly.
Hey, so a lot going on here. As always, we'll have Dr. Stately on today and talk about many, many things. He's a Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities CEO. And we want to get a little deeper, Ogama, with other things that they do there that I don't think we really talk about a lot. So I'm excited about that. And also, he has a billboard up there with him and his two sons, and I got to give him a hard time about that. But it won't be until the fourth segment to give him a hard time so he doesn't leave early or anything like that. But you got the news happening today, and it's news you don't hear anywhere else. I'm excited to listen. I've been kind of working all day. I shouldn't say kind of. I've been working all day, and so I'm interested to hear what news you have, Ogama. And this is news you don't hear anywhere else, and this is Ogama Gnu Akwe.
Buju, Anin, everybody. I'm Ogama Gnu Akwe. I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and we have some news for you here. The first thing that I want to mention is something that Robert reminded me of today, that today is the anniversary of the I-35W Mississippi River Bridge collapse that collapsed in 2007. Wow. So the bridge had opened in 1967 and was Minnesota's third busiest bridge, and it carried about 140,000 vehicles daily. However, as we all know, if you're a Minnesotan, it had a catastrophic failure during rush hour on the evening of August 1st, 2007, and it killed 13 people and injured 145. There is a design flaw that was cited for the collapse. And gusset a too thin plate. Gusset plate ripped along a line of rivets. So
never heard of gusset plates until that day, Ogama.
Exactly. That's exactly how we all lived our lives. We had no idea what gusset plates were and how important they were until that day. So, you know, we just want to make sure that we're taking the time to put our prayers up for people who were lost and who were injured or may still be recovering from injury from that accident, and to take a few minutes to remember them today. That is something that you should do. There is a new documentary that is coming out about a Rapid City boarding school and the children that went there. They're working on, well, let's see. The Rapid City Indian Boarding School shut down in 1933, and there's about 50 children who died there. And there's a Native community member now in Western South Dakota who has decided to do a documentary to honor the children's lives. So the memorial is being called Remembering the Children, and now there's a documentary film that's coming out with the same title. So the film is going to be about children who perished at the Rapid City Indian Boarding School, and it's going to be produced by Jim Warney, who's Oglala Lakota. And he's hoping that there are more stories that this will... He told Indian Country Today that there's a bigger picture because there are about 400 Indian boarding schools across the country, and children died at many of those as well, and that those stories need to be told. Currently in May, the U.S. Department of the Interior had released the Federal Indian Boarding School Initiative Investigative Report. And it identified approximately 19 federal Indian boarding schools that accounted for about 500 American Indian, Alaska Native, and Native Hawaiian child deaths. But the investigation is continuing, and the department is expecting recorded deaths to increase. So The Remembering the Children film is going to be directed by Arlo Ironcloud, and who's also Oglala Lakota, and it is underwritten by the Windrose Fund and the Common Council Foundation, and it is going to, it just it premiered Saturday, July 30th at the Journey Museum in Rapid City. So that is out now. I have not looked if we can find it on YouTube. Robert, have you looked at that?
No, but I am getting excited about what your next story is going to be about. So it's always good to have good information and fun things with Native Americans.
Right. So you want to tell me which story you're thinking of that's going to be next that you're excited about?
Well, I thought you'd segue right into reservation dogs after that.
And, I can definitely segue right into reservation dogs. Reservation Dogs Season 2 opens up this Wednesday, August 3rd, on FX and Hulu. So if you all don't have Hulu, make sure you're calling up all your cousins and aunties and asking for the Hulu password so you can watch Season 2 of Reservation Dogs. That is going to be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to it, but... there's another article here from Indian Country Today that also made me excited. Actor Wes Studi has been cast as a romantic co-star in a new film called A Love Song. So we all know Wes Studi. He's 74, and he's, you know, had all of these iconic roles. He was Magua in The Last of the Mohicans, and then he was credited as the toughest Pawnee in Dances with Wolves. But there, a lot of the roles that he's had have all kind of been within the same, I don't know if we could call it a trope or something. He told Indian Country Today that he calls them leather and feather roles. and he was just recently in Heat and got a part as a police detective, but he's generally portrayed as kind of this, you know, rough and tumble stoic character. So now he's going to be in Max Walker Silverman's story. It's a Love Song, and it opens in theaters this week. And he's going to be a romantic co-star in that. So that is definitely something that's a change up in roles. And I'm pretty excited to see Wes Studi play a different role. It's always fun when some of your favorite actors do something a little different, right?
As you know, Ogama, many natives call it dancing with Kevin Costner.
Yes, dances with. Well, I'm supposed to be doing the news right now, Robert, so I did call it what it's titled. But in our family, yes, we call that dances with Kevin Costner. But, you know, actually, Wes Studi is also a guest star on Reservation Dogs, which is a Sterling Harjo project. And again, that debut is this Wednesday, August 3rd on Hulu. So share your Hulu passwords around. That's exciting news.
Cool. We got a couple more minutes and then commercial break, and Dr. Stately's on deck. I see him there. He's looking good here in the background. Yeah,
exciting. So this is another big one that kind of gave me a chuckle when I read it. I'm really glad for this. Let me just preface this. I'm really glad. But the state of Alaska has finally officially recognized 230 tribes within the state. So the federal government already recognized these tribes, but the state of Alaska had not. So this week, the Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy signed House Bill 123, which is also called the Alaska Tribal Recognition Act, and it recognizes 229 tribes, and those tribes already had federal recognition. So, I mean, it gave me a chuckle. I mean, it's not funny, but it kind of is. You know, to have federal recognition but not state recognition is kind of one of those weird in-between things for certain tribes. And I know that there's tribes in California and other places where they maybe have state recognition but not federal recognition. And, right. You know, I don't really know all of the ins and outs for why some tribes have federal recognition, some tribes only have state, some have both. So that might be something that we should try to get a guest on to talk about, Robert, because I think if you're recognized by the state, you would automatically be recognized by the federal government. But apparently that's not the case.
Well, let's just say we've been here over 10,000 years and these colonizers want to recognize us. You know, you don't have to recognize us. It's just like, you know, do you like to be called Indian or Native? And it's like, no, I like to be called Ho-Chunk. And, you know, you know what I'm saying? So
I know what you're saying.
Right on. Hey, Peeny Geeky for the news. Up next, Dr. Stately. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Well, hey, this
portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post. Look for Native Roots Trading Post at the Minnesota State Fair, August 25th through September 5th.
Not only that, we will be on live. We'll be doing our show out there live at the State Fair. And so we're really, really excited about that. And maybe Dr. Stately will even stop by the fair and do live with us on those weeks that we're out there. That'd be cool. And we'll get you another free T-shirt too, Dr. Stately. Hey, I really enjoy and I get so much great feedback when we have Dr. Stately on. And he's the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic. And we're just really always blessed to have him on. And Dr. Stately, welcome. And, you know, I think we talk about worldly things a lot, but why don't we talk about what you do specifically in your clinic? I know there's a lot of things that you do there, and I'd like to jump into that today, if you don't mind.
Sure. there's a lot I do. today was a little bit of a challenging day because I was just getting back from having like back-to-back weeks of traveling, you know, like the entire month of July, I was on the road somewhere, either in Missouri or South Dakota for a ceremony, or I went to San Diego for a few days to talk at a conference, and then I was back last week for a few days, and then shuttled my kids back and forth to Wisconsin for on the bookends on Monday and Friday for a hockey camp. Preparing them for high school hockey.
Right on.
So I felt like probably over the course of the month of July, I probably spent like maybe a total of 4 actual days in the clinic, like physically in the clinic. And then today when I showed up, I was just like, gosh, where are my pens? I'm scared.
Yeah.
You know, just like one of those things where I just kind of had to spend the day kind of getting
who took my chair?
Grounded. Who took my chair?
Yeah.
Who moved my cheese? Why is my email not working?
Right. So you're really not clear what goes on at Native American Community Clinic.
Well, you know, I'm generally clear about what happened. Just today I had to like do a lot of catch up. I had like I looked in my email inbox and I had like, I don't know, like 600 unread emails. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, so
the majority of those emails, I will tell you, are like, you know, people trying to market stuff to us, right? So we're in healthcare, right? And they're like, you know, I have the newest widget that's going to make your life incredibly immensely easy, or, you know, this or that. And it only costs $300,000, but it's going to change your life. And, you know, we're nonprofit, so I spend an inordinate amount of my time going through emails and deleting people's emails and writing back to them, take me off your list, take me off your list, take me off your list. This is frustrating.
Wow. Yeah, that is. Yeah. I have somebody look at my emails, so I know what you're saying, except for my real job, though, I don't. And I'm like, they have a spam protector on that. But so,
like your legislator account, probably, right?
Right, exactly.
Your real job.
Right. And then my pretend job here, Ogama, is on our emails, and she's a doer, so she takes care of things. Right, Ogama?
I'm on about six emails. I think I run. I have about five or six different Gmail accounts. So emails give me a little bit of, you know, it's almost traumatic to open the emails every day.
I can imagine. I thought I was prepared to tell you for you to tell me that Wendy answers your emails or looks at them.
No, she's retired. You know better than that.
Yeah.
You know better than that. She's retired. Like, but just between us, she's probably going to – she's taking some credits to come back possibly and do some, shots and stuff like that that she can give shots. Nice.
Yeah. She's looking for a place to, brush up on her skills again or just be a volunteer or do something. Like, of course, I'd make a space for her at NAC.
Right on.
One of the things I was going to say, like a lot of people maybe don't know what an executive officer does, but like my primary role at the clinic really is to sort of kind of like hold the, you know, the 25,000, 30,000 foot sort of kind of level perspective to try and sort of kind of keep an eye on all of it, see how it all works, support my leadership team that are the people that are actually the directors and the officers that are running the actual clinics, like that. You know, I have the chief medical officer or the medical officer reports to me, the operations officer does. Like, these people are people who are sort of like in the trenches doing all of the day-to-day work and kind of making the secret sauce work. And they report up to me and ladder up to me, but, you know, we work together collaboratively to sort of run the clinic and make decisions big and small about the operations of the clinic and how to do the things that we do. And my job really is to do things like today I met with the foundation for a couple of hours and talked about a grant that we're likely to get. I have to meet with the board next week to talk about that. That's kind of like a big part of my role. My role is to sort of interface with like foundations, the government, other external organizations, build collaborations and partnerships and relationships, and then sort of kind of ensure that the policies, the procedures, and the practices that run the clinic are being implemented in, you know, in a sound and efficient manner.
I bet you your meetings are fun because you're a funny guy. I mean, I'm funnier, but I think when we're together, we're joking all the time. Or is that the other side, the real side of you, and then you're a taskmaster? I bet you you're funny. Your meetings?
I definitely, I have like a number of meetings in which I am, where I feel like I can kind of be relaxed and be myself, like my authentic self, which is, you know, I'm a little bit of a trickster. I'm a little bit of a jokester. I'm a storyteller, you know?
Yes.
And so I show up in those meetings in that way when I feel comfortable and confident that I can do that. I don't usually do that in like the meetings with the government. You know, I have like meetings all the time with the governor and lieutenant governor's cabinet on policy stuff. Or when I meet with legislators, and not including yourself, but you know, state and federal legislators. I'm not joking with them. You know, I'm being really very deliberate and clear in my communication.
And you don't joke with your kids. You let your kids know what's up too. Who's running the show, right? Or do they just walk all over you?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. Like, I feel like I'm running the show, but you know, if you talk to other people, they'll tell you that they're running the show. So right. I know who's writing the checks. That's who I know writing the checks.
Right. That's right. Do you want a new pair of skates or not?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Dr. Staley, I was going to ask, you have traditional medicine available in some capacity at the Native American Community Clinic. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We have, so about in 2018, I had this profound experience where I realized, you know, it was really important for us to sort of like build out the capacity to begin to serve our community and provide cultural and traditional healing services or access to those things. And that was a real interesting story, which I'll probably save for another time. But we hired our first elder in residence back in 2018. It was Donna LaChapelle. She is now providing those services to Indigenous Peoples Task Force, who pilfered her from NAC. No, I'm joking. I'm teasing. I know Sharon Day, the executive director, really well, and I love her a lot. And actually, I'm on Indigenous Peoples Task Force board, so I've been on there for a while. And I'm happy that she's there providing services, and she got a really good gig there. But she was our first elder in residence, and then within a couple of months of getting her, it was right about around the time of the Wall of Forgotten Natives was sort of just starting to sort of kind of like take shape. She started working her first day, I think, with us officially was spring equinox of 2018. And then fairly rapidly, we started to provide access to, you know, traditional medicines, some consultation with an elder in residence talking about spiritual care and how that integrates into your overall health and wellness plan. You know, she booked out really quickly. And so within like, I think 4 months, we had to hire another one who is still with us, Renee Bolio Banks. She does a lot of really interesting work. She was a graduate from St. Kate's, our first cohort of their master's program and on holistic healing, integrative and holistic healing master's degree. And so she's really taken that work that she's gotten and that training that she's gotten at St. Kate's and her knowledge and wisdom about traditional medicines, our four sacred medicines, a few other things, and integrated them into a nice way of providing services to patients in our outpatient mental health clinic and also our substance abuse treatment program prior to that. And now here, 3 years later, we've gotten so busy with that work that we also hired Fred Desjarlais from Red Lake, who is very knowledgeable and very experienced in providing ceremonial services to the broad community, you know, provides those services as part of our work at NAC.
Wow, well, Dr. Staley, let's get a little more into that after this break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We're here with Dr. Staley and Ogama. We'll be right back after this short break. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
COVID levels may be falling, but the virus is still around. Stay healthy and up to date on your COVID vaccinations and boosters. Right now, everyone 6 months and older is eligible to get a vaccination, while everyone 5 and up is eligible for the booster shot. Plus, you're eligible for a second booster if you're over 50 and received an initial booster dose at least 4 months ago. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic.
Hello, it's Randy Rhodes, Team Randy, glad to be a part of the lineup of Progressive Voices on AM 950. Tune in, join us weeknights at 10.
The Guthrie Theater presents Lynn Nonage's Pulitzer Prize-winning Sweat, playing now through August 21st. Set in the heart of America's Rust Belt, Sweat follows a group of factory workers who enjoy beers together after hours, but the post-Y2K economy is changing. NAFTA is a new reality, and rumors about layoffs put friendships to the test. From the politically charged opening scene to its electrifying conclusion, Sweat confronts issues of race, immigration, deindustrialization, and the ever-slipping grip on middle-class life, all with humor and heart. Buy tickets at GuthrieTheater.org.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been going to Chambliot Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chambliot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambliotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Clear tonight with a low of 67, hot and sunny on Tuesday with a high of 95. Cafe Latte is unlike any restaurant you've ever experienced. Grab a tray and pick from their award-winning selections of soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts. Cafe Latte, Victoria Street and Grand Avenue in St. Paul, or CafeLatte.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native Roots Trading Post. Look for Native Roots Radio and Native Roots Trading Post at the Minnesota State Fair, August 25th through September 5th. We're going to be live on the radio there and also helping to run the Native Roots Trading Post. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and we'll put Dr. Stately to work out there because I'm old and I can't be on my feet 12 hours a day, so... We'll be excited to have Dr. Stately out there. Hey, Dr.
Powell chair.
Say that again.
Why don't you just get yourself a really comfortable Powell chair to sit in?
Right on. And then just point and just tell with my lips, like my daughter, hey, there's a customer there. There's a customer right there. Ooh. Hey, so Dr. Stately, let's get a little deeper in what you were talking about. We kind of asked you like towards the end of the segment. So, I think it's really important what you were saying about how you bring our ways to the clinic and I don't know if you can elaborate a little more or what you can talk about, but I think it's really important for our people to hear this and our allies to know really what differentiates you and your clinic and our ways.
Well, I think I have actually proposed that we bring in some of our healers on our next episode to kind of talk about, so they can talk about the work that they do. I think it's important that they be able to talk about that because each of them do something a little bit different, and you know they can describe their work way better than I can. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things that was really important to me, this is an important step forward in our work at NAC, and one of the reasons why we have invested so heavily in building out the capacity to be able to provide this service to our patients in the clinic and also within the community. Oh my God, he's using this moment to do a squeaky toy. Go. Sorry.
Live radio, we love it.
Yeah, live radio. Go lay down. Not you, Robert, the dog.
Oh, darn it.
I know. But a big reason why we sort of embarked on that work was there, like that, if everybody recalls, like in late summer, early fall of 2018, when the Wall of Forgotten Natives kind of happened, it was the largest homeless encampment ever seen in the history of Minnesota. And, 75-80% of the people that living in that encampment at that point in time were Native people. Many of them, our relatives, many of them were some of my relatives. Actually, the first day I walked through there, I saw a niece and a cousin in the encampment, which was really to kind of stop me in my tracks when it happened. But one of the reasons why we started doing that work was that we were hearing from both our relatives in the community that came to the clinic, and also throughout the clinic or throughout the community, the critical need for providing traditional access to traditional healing and cultural care. So he's clearly endorsing the concept.
I love it.
He's mad about this. Here, you can have it. So he's chewing me out because I took his toy away from him. Sorry. But one of the things that did, so we started doing that work because they were calling for it. And what was interesting was the amount of response that we got fairly rapidly, and how rapidly those healers' schedules kind of filled up fairly rapidly. And we were hearing stories from the elders and other people in the clinic saying, you know, I haven't been in to see my doctor or see my dentist or see, you know, a counselor for years. I have kind of, you know, haven't been paying attention to anything health related. And them saying things like, you know, and after I came and saw my elder for a while and talked with her or him, I sat with them and talked to them about the things that were spiritually ailing me or those kinds of things. They would, and they got comfortable. They started saying, well, gee, I should maybe make an appointment to see my doctor, right, for my diabetes mm-hmm. or this. So what we found was it was a mechanism for engaging people who had like fallen off the radar in terms of sort of regular and consistent care for their chronic conditions. And that was a really important piece of information to support, you know, why it was important to expand that role. And then when the Wall of Forgotten Natives happened and people got moved to the navigation center, and they're all struggling with some type of substance use, a lot of them with opiate use disorder. But also, like, if you can imagine, like, being unsheltered for months and months. Some people were generationally houseless, right? They had their parents mm-hmm. and their grandparents before them had been houseless. So what that does to your spirit and how, you know, how small you become and you end up feeling a little insignificant. People were asking for, you know, somebody to just come over and smudge with them and talk with them and have prayer with them. So we sent our elders over there and they did that work, and it was really profoundly impactful for them. And we've integrated that work into all of our substance abuse work, and it is really remarkable, some of the evaluation results we have on that work that show that people engage in the healing work differently when they have an elder engaged in that work with them. They stay engaged, and they stay engaged longer. We're having better outcomes. In our first year of opening up our intensive outpatient treatment program and having an elder open that program every single day with prayer and being involved in the programming throughout the entire day, not just kind of like, you know, showing up one time and then leaving, we saw that people were, you know, the recidivism of people going back to using drugs significantly declined. Not one of our persons in our program went back to jail or prison, which is a really typical thing that you see when people are struggling with opiate disorder. They kind of cycle in and out of jail and out of incarceration. So we started seeing some really important results of that work that then helped us sort of kind of go to apply when the traditional healing grants came available to the legislation passed back in 2019. We applied for one of those grants and we got it. And we've been doing that work, providing traditional healing workshops, both in person and online throughout the pandemic. We've been providing all these opportunities to learn more about medicines, more about ways of sort of kind of doing that healing work in your own home with your own work and your own processes, with the support of some elders and other folks.
So, you know,
pretty robust programming. So.
Yeah, I don't think people really understand, Dr. Stately. I know one of my daughters is really affected by the drum. When she hears the drum, she gets very emotional. And we let her be that way, but it's in our DNA. We're of earth and sky, you know. And
well, if you think about it, it's the first thing, that first sound that we hear when we're in our mother's womb. We hear that sound of that drum, that beat of her heart, that drum mimics that sound. And so when we're inside our mother's womb and we're in that space, we're in a space and place that, you know, feels really safe probably, you know, and that instantaneous beat of the drum can kind of take you right back to that space of feeling like safe, taken care of, held, right, consoled. So there's actually a colleague of mine, his name is, Dan Dickerson. He's an Alaska native. He's an Athabascan psychiatrist in Los Angeles who I have a good relationship with. He did a foundational and seminal study called DARTNA, Drumming for Alcohol and Alcohol Recovery and something else. But he looked at the effects of the impact of drumming on people's ability to recover and stay in treatment and continue to engage in sobriety. His intervention is scheduled to become one of the SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's evidence-based interventions this coming year. It's under review now. So there's a lot of evidence that suggests that our traditional ways and our cultural healing ways are very healing. They have a lot of healing properties. And what I'm trying to accomplish with this work in my clinic is that I'm trying to sort of like, by creating the space and place and creating a cultural healing and spiritual care division in the clinic, is I'm saying, you know, to my colleagues, I'm saying to the large health systems, I'm saying to the government, like, this belongs here in a health center. It has equal weight and equal value as does Western medicine. I'm not saying it's better than that. I'm not saying it's more important. I'm saying it has equal weight and equal space. And so we create the space in the clinic for that to happen. And we intend to continue to expand that work because it's really, really critical that our community have that access to that service.
Wow. That's a great reminder. I know how powerful, song and the drum is to me. Sometimes we think this person needs more than smoke and feathers, you know, but you know what? That's a colonized way of thinking. You know, it really is. It really is.
Yeah. And my non-native staff have really sort of, you know, taken to it. They've embraced it. They've really worked hard to integrate that into the rest of the clinic offerings. We haven't figured it out perfectly. We're doing some of that work, but I think we're doing a pretty good job. we're work in progress, just like everything else. You know, we take feedback and we try to implement it as best we can and make it a good experience for everyone.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's really powerful. We're going to take a quick break here in about a minute. The healing, talking to someone or listening to an elder, or you, Dr. Stately, telling your stories is a way of healing for everyone. And, that's what I got when I first sobered up years ago, was to be able to speak my truth, but also hear, not only tell you my truth, but hear my own truth. And, always making a mountain over a molehill or vice versa, or maybe this is more important than I think. But to voice it and hear it in my own two ears, and try it makes a difference and hearing it too. So that's just powerful.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for our community and our people to benefit from the other services that the clinic and other healthcare services, health systems offer them, is to make sure that they can see themselves in the environment. They can see themselves in what you're doing. They need to see their culture and their spiritual services and their traditional ways and rituals respected and reflected back to them. Then they know that it's a space and place that they belong, and they know it's a space and place where they're going to get treated well with respect and dignity, right?
Perfect. Hey, stay with us, Dr. Stately. We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio, I'm awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Well, Dr. Stately, are you? I'm here with Dr. Stately, who's the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And are you excited as I am for Reservation Dogs coming up here in a couple days?
Yeah, of course I am. it was like a little bit of a cliffhanger on that last show.
Right.
But I it's like the native version of Who Shot JR. Let's take it way back to the 80s, for God's sake. I'm really excited. And I know that, because I read something somewhere, I think I read in the in any country today, that they're going to have a couple of episodes where Reservation Dogs and Rutherford Falls sort of kind of have this mashup where they, you know, they do this kind of like mixed show together.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what I heard. So I'm like, you know, I'm on it. I'm like looking on the email all the time and checking the internet, like when is our show going to air? Because I want to see that would be really cool. They do it on like, you know, mainstream television all the time, you know, like, you know, Friends meets, I don't know, you know, I don't know. What is it? That one, that really smart kid, whatever his name is. That one, yeah, that guy.
I don't know. Robert Pilot. But we were blessed to have those guys on Rutherford Falls on, and we got in their junket, and it was really funny. Dr. Stately, I don't know if you remember Bobby Wilson when he was young, but he hasn't changed much. And when I ever brought his name up to the other cast members of Rutherford Falls, they all had big smiles. And I just said, yeah, you know, we had to have the panic button because he likes to swear. And they just shook their head. They were like, yeah, but he's awesome.
Yeah, I like to swear too. Swearing is a sign of intelligence, actually, quite frankly.
You guys should hear me when I'm off air.
Yeah.
So, I like to tell people I have the vocabulary of a rap star.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to start calling you Ogimabi.
Yeah. I only like to swear around little kids. I don't know what that's all about, but I don't really swear a lot, but I think I like to act cool around little teeny kids or something. I don't know.
Like 3-year-olds or 5-year-olds or like you talking
about? Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't put Robert on speaker if we're talking stuff and my kid's in the room.
Right.
It's like, you know, if you want to be cool to a 3-year-old, just give them a stick of gum. They'll do practically anything for that.
Or a candy cigarette, you know, candy cigarette.
Wow. Wow. Nothing like conditioning them there, Robert. Right. It's a good thing that you don't actually have any children of your own anymore right now, like little tiny ones anyway.
Well, they're adults now, and let me tell you, they're two of the nicest people I ever met, and it doesn't have anything to do with me.
Yeah, well, or giving them candy cigarettes. But right. I was just teasing you. What I was going to say was, you know, yeah, like I think it's exciting, you know, that I think I read somewhere that they've signed up for at least 2 more seasons of Reservation Dogs, so we're going to get like a season 2 and a season 3, which is really exciting, of course, right? Yeah. And then, you know, Rutherford Falls will probably be around for a little bit. I want to watch that new show that's out on, I think, I forget what TV show it's on. The one about the, is it called Badlands, I think, or something like
Dark Winds?
Dark Winds, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that was really good. That was only like 7 or 8 series. It's based on a book, and it was really done well.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, what's really cool about that is, like, there's, like, you know, there was, you know, shows where there were Native people, you know, I'm a child of the 60s and 70s. Like, you know, the kind of stuff we saw with Native people showing up and, like, you know.
F-Troop.
Yeah, just, like, never, rarely did we see it. And when we did see it, it was done poorly or completely inaccurately, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I watched all seasons of Love Boat. I never saw any in person on Love Boat ever, right?
Well, do you remember F-Troop? I mean,
yes,
I watched that as a kid. I watched that as a kid, and now you watch it now, and you go, how in the heck? What in the heck?
Yeah. Why so we're in a different era and a different time, and like, you know, the fact that my kids get to benefit from this and I get to see really amazing characters like that are real and reflect like what I experience, you know, in my own community and my family is really remarkable. That's pretty awesome. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, sure. That's a really good point, Dr. Stately. I'm really excited. Not only do we know like a big part of the cast, but also just that I think how they have really, you know, the 1491ers, how those guys have really grown and kept doing it. And with Dallas Goldtooth, he's not only a comedian, he's a huge water protector for years, and his father. And so to balance those two, that in all seriousness, that's amazing to me.
Yep. I don't remember. I mean, I was your comment. Did you remember years ago when Bobby Wilson was young? I was like, well, is he old now? But I actually have a picture of myself with him on stage. I had this little tiny piece of a of an appearance in one of Deanna Standing Cloud's plays when she first started. She wrote this play. She wrote me into this play and then asked me to be the person that that performed that piece. And Bobby was in that ensemble cast. And so there's a picture of me on Facebook. It just popped up not too long ago in my history. And I was like, hey, there he is. I'm standing right behind him. Anyway, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I knew that guy before he became famous.
Well, and he's got great roots here, because I know a couple of years ago, some elders asked him, it was some kind of a dinner, asked him to come MC it. And you know what? He came, flew in just to do that because the elders asked him. So he's still sacred.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm going to be 60 here in a couple of months, so I'll call him up and ask him to do something. Is that the key? You got to be over 60 to get something?
I don't know. I think I'm 61, and I feel like I'm a junior elder, so I don't know if I'm really an elder. Yeah. But,
you went to a different school than I did.
Well, we're wrapping up here, Dr. Stately. You got any good words for us? I think the Native Community Clinic is – how long has that been around, too, by the way?
They incorporated in 2002, so mm-hmm. we're technically 20 years old, but we've had our doors open since February 2003. So we're coming up on our 20th anniversary here.
Wow. Soon.
Our 20th birthday. So we make a big deal of our birthday. Actually, we make a big deal of a lot of things. We're a clinic that loves, you know, Halloween. So they all dress up for Halloween. Last year I dressed up as, the Native American Karen. You know, her name was Auntie Annette, and she gave you all kinds of advice you didn't know that you needed or wanted.
Oh, my God. I think we should do a live show at the Native American Community Clinic on Halloween. Hallow's Eve. That sounds good. Wow. And I would get to dress up too. So Dr. Stately, Ogma, you got something to say real quick?
Just come to me before we leave.
Come to you before we leave?
I just wanted to mention to everybody, in the spirit of Wendy Pilot, who is not on here tonight, that the Minnesota DNR Draft Wolf Plan needs your comments. And even if you're from outside of the state of Minnesota, please comment. You can go to tinyurl.com/draftwolfplanmn. The comment deadline is next Monday, August 8th at 5 p.m.
Hey, I wanted to thank Dr. Stately for being on extra segment than he normally is. I really appreciate that. Sitting in for Wendy and, of course, Ogama with the news. I would like to end with these thoughts from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.